Just think of it. You're part of a church that's encouraging each and every one of us to spend this next week called our fellowship week by just picking out another person or another couple to spend some time with, to develop a good relationship with them, to start a relationship. My fellowship week started last evening at my house, sitting for 2 hours in the air-conditioned driveway that I own. Walked back in the house, just sweaty, 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 sweaty. But spent 2 hours out in the driveway, distanced away from another guy, and just talked about the faith and et cetera, as we build a relationship together. The point is, look for the opportunities. Look at somebody now across this room and say, I want to get with you. When can we work that out for a coffee, a this or that? Figure it out. It is well worth doing as we begin our fellowship week. And don't forget this. Starting 1 week exactly from today, Jerry's and Brian Shays at the Shays will start their community groups. So realize they're dotted throughout the area. Find the one that you want to go to, and they will be always the first one on the Sunday when we're not meeting here. They will be the first group that meets, starting off, kicks off a whole week of community groups meeting. Everybody got that? You know, there's a trend, by the way, that I've noticed, and it's been referred to by church folks who watch churches. And they've noted the amount of churches, good churches, that have foregone reading the scripture. I've been part of several churches, even speaking for churches, one I'm about to speak at in a couple of weeks, and they have foregone reading the scripture as part of their worship service. And the reason they said was this, just to me on Tuesday, was it takes too much time. And we've got other things we need to do in the service, and reading the scripture takes too much time. Which kind of makes me giggle, like, what else are we supposed to be there for if we did nothing else read the scripture? But made it very clear to me, we don't do that, as I looked over an order of service. I want to say this to you. The ancient church had it right. The reading of the scripture, which we've always done at Candlewood, and we're going to continue to do, was an integral part of the worship service, an important part of the worship service. We need to hear the word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit instructs us by, guides us by, challenges us by. Fill in the blank. All of the things the Holy Spirit accomplishes through his word, which is better than Mike's word. So, with that said, we're going to start off our time of some communication, me and you, you with me. But we're going to start it off with the reading of the scripture. And I'm going to ask Jim Reed, if you would come forward, Jim. I would appreciate it. Tyler, is this mic still on here? Okay, we're good. Why don't you come to the stand-up mic? They're going to read the scripture from what the group studied this week, which is Genesis 1, chapter 1 through verse 25. So I'm going to ask Jim to read verses 1 to 14, somewhere there, 1 to 12, 1 to 14. When you get tired, let me know. And then Bob, this is a home meeting, all right? And then Bob Andrews is going to come up, and he's going to complete the scripture reading. Thank you, both of you guys. Listen to the word of God.
I'm at a stand-up mic. I must be a stand-up guy. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was without shape and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the watery deep. But the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, so God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. There was evening and there was morning, marking the first day. God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. It was so. God called the expanse sky. There was evening and there was morning, a second day. God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." It was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered water he called seas. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds." It was so. The land produced vegetation, plants yielding the seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a third day.
Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, a fourth day. Then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that very much. There are volumes of books that are written on this exact scripture, and everybody wants to put a philosophical spin on it to explain it. And I would just say at this point in time, we're not going to do that. I would say just enjoy what we just read. Look at what a phenomenal display of God's power. There are several places in the scripture where you read what God has done, and you got to take a step back and go, that was unbelievable that God just displayed his power like that. But right now, I'd just like to take a minute, and I really have to challenge you to speak louder than you've ever spoken. What, when the scripture was being read, impacted you? What was so noteworthy in what was read that you would share right now with us at the top of your voice so that we can all hear, and if we can't, I'll repeat it. Okay, put your hand up. I'll call on you. Just stand up and say it as loud as me. What impressed you in this scripture? What impacted you in this scripture? Our group made a big list. Phil, stand and yell.
I think what impressed me is the fact that nothing existed before God spoke it into existence.
Nice. Thank you. Simple as that. What else impressed you about this scripture, about this account? In the simplicity of this dramatic demonstration of his power, what struck you? Anybody else? Jeff, loud.
It was good.
Okay, thank you. And that good was declared by who? God. All right, so it was really good. Excellent. Come on, give me another one here. I think our group figured out what came first, the chicken or the egg. Everybody got the answer? Looks like the chicken came first. That's what Scripture says. So you get in that discussion, you got it right here, okay? Yes, Susan.
It was all water.
Yeah. A lot of water. A lot of water. And if God didn't start separating that water, we'd be underwater if we were here at all. Good point. Good observation. Keep going. What else do you see in here? Yes?
The Spirit was hovering. The Spirit was active.
The Spirit was hovering and active. That leads to a whole other discussion, which is flat out dynamic. Good. Another one. Yes, sir.
That from the beginning, God separated light and day, light and darkness, good and evil. From the get-go, he separated the two.
Very good. Great observation, friend. I appreciate that. Anybody else got one? Observations. We should be able to go out for the next hour and a half observing this passage. Anybody? Anybody want to try? Okay, Ann?
The diversity of the creation.
The diversity of the creation. The specificity of the creation. I just want to use that word all day. I finally got it out. Thank you. I appreciate it. Jerry?
The power of the creation. You just had to say it, and it happened.
Okay. the power of his creation. It happened by his word alone. Whereas if I was doing it, I'd be getting my crews together who were good at building stuff and fashioning stuff. And that's not the way it went down. He spoke it and it was. I'm going to tell you this. All the background reading I have done on this passage all these years, that one aspect is the one I don't understand. I have no clue how you could speak something into existence and hold it. Every single thing I see at night, I walk outside and there's lights in the sky called stars and moons and etc. You mean to tell me you spoke that into existence? You mean to tell me that when they have these satellites like Hubble and other ones that go out, these observation platforms, you mean to tell me when they go further out into space with their cameras than ever before, that those things you created? Yeah. And how'd he do it? He worked on it real hard for months and stressed and strained all he could do with godly sweat and made these planets. That's not it. They were spoke into existence. I don't understand that. I never will. But I'm so thankful for it, and it's really pretty cool. Any other observations? Yes, ma'am.
It's not exactly in the text. I think God had fun.
Ooh. She says, I think God had fun. Another word I would say, going with the Hebrew of he saw that it was good. God was tickled with himself that he did this. Very interesting. I would like to take a break right now, and here's what I'd like to do. Bob, can you make your way up here to this microphone? I want everybody to hear you real well. So in the middle of all these observations, and our group went on and made a bunch of them, which took us a certain place where we're going to go in a little bit. Our group said stuff like this, that God is the creator of all, that he was the one who was in existence before creation, that he created specifically, that he created from nothing, that he created and said it was good. He was typical of himself. He created by just his word only. He created to display the power that only he has. And he also, listen to this, you have to go a little further in chief, but he also created as the Trinity. From the very get-go, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And then if you go ahead to verse 26, you see twice a reference that goes like this. Let us make man. Let us. The Hebrew word us there is more than two. The Trinity was creating. Jesus Christ was creating in the creation account in Genesis. Well, this week, we had community groups. Mine fired on a Monday night. And Steve Cook, yours fired on Wednesday evening. Well, listen to this. So it's like Friday? I get an email from you? Something like that? Okay. So Bob apparently is gestating on something that he got a community group looking at this scripture. And apparently you guys did some sharing about different things. I know where my group went, and I'm very satisfied that we got these great impressions from the scripture. Bob sends me an email and says, Mike, we had a great discussion in our group. It was a good study of the Word. But I wanted to share this with you. And that this was unbelievable. A reaction to this text that our group never touched on. And honestly, that I had never thought of. Until Bob went and shared it with me. So I fired an email back and said, would you mind sharing that like at the group, at the gathering? And he said, okay. So that's why he's here on microphone, so that you can hear him really well. Yeah, Bob, share what you thought.
We had fun at the Cooks group. It was a great meeting. There was a lot of sharing, a lot of catching up with what's been happening in people's lives. There was one kind of recurring theme of grief. There were people there dealing with very fresh grief, people dealing with lifelong issues of grief. It was grief for people who lived long lives and grief for people who seem to have left before their time. And as we were closing in prayer, it seemed like God wanted me to pray for those of us who were grieving. And the Father heard me tie it in with the scripture. That's not in there. And I realized that's the point. I was able to praise God with this beautiful description of his creation before sin and death entered into it. I was able to thank him that grief is a powerful witness that we were not made to live in a world with sin and death. I was able to praise him that he, as the Creator God, as the one who stands outside of creation and is all powerful over it, can give us peace that is beyond all of our comprehension to deal with the grief issues in our lives.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that a lot. You know, when you think about it, there's really only one response to what we've read in the Scripture and some of the things you've said. And if we sat around this table the rest of the night, I really believe we could keep going with the uniqueness of this passage and what's displayed by God and how it went. And even more thoughts going further down the line of what Bob just shared, that it makes you think of grief almost, because things were created so well, perfectly. God said they were good. And you look at them now, there has to almost be a measure of grief as to where things have gone to. I think the thing we need to do right now is I think we need to bow our heads and we need to pray. And I'm going to challenge you to do this. And I know that it's late in the week, late in the weekend, and it may be that you've gotten through most of this week and this weekend without just taking some personal time. And I'm going to give you just a few minutes right now to personally, alone, thank God for what He did in creation. Thank God for the display of His power. Thank God for our personal God, who has a personal relationship with us. Thank Him for exactly what He did. And believe it or not, I believe this passage of creation, I know it's that big of 20 some odd verses or whatever, but I know it would fill volumes if all the details were there and would blow us away even more. But the point of the matter is now, let's bow our heads. And you alone with God, I don't know if this is a regular practice for you, it should be. You alone with God worshiping Him. You alone with God telling Him and praising Him for how great He is. You alone with God taking even further than that, your response to this power and how in awe you are before Him. So take this time personally right now. Thank Him for the next couple of minutes for Him. Just Him. Praise Him for Himself. Acknowledge what He did. Do that. Acknowledge the power that He did, the Creator of all things that He is, and still is today, no matter what goes on in this world. Would you just take a couple moments? Another aspect is silence, which is good. And we're going to be silent. Pray. Stay focused. Stay on topic. And praise God. And Glenn Francis, after 2-3 minutes, would you stand loudly and praise God with prayer? And that'll be the end of our prayer time. Thank you.
Dear God and our Heavenly Father, we are in awe of You. You spoke, Lord, and things happened. You looked, Lord, on Your creation and You said it was good. And Lord, yes, it was good. We are in awe, Lord, of Your power. And admittedly, Lord, we don't know much about You. There's so much more about You, Lord, that our finite minds just can't quite comprehend. And so, Lord, we bow our hearts in praise and thanks to You for who it is that You are. You have been a great God, and indeed, Lord, as the Scriptures say, that You are God and that there is none other like You. We praise You, Lord. We worship You. We thank You, Lord, for all Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, that You have made it possible that we as mere mortals can have a relationship with You. We thank You, Lord, that You allow us to call You our Father. And Lord, that just gets home to us, that the perfect God allowed imperfect man to call Him that Father. Father, we again praise You and thank You for all it is that You are in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Glenn. You know, I think one of the reasons the creation account in the Scripture has such an impact for me, and see if you don't join me in this, I can acknowledge God did all that eons ago, whenever it was. You can fight over the date, it doesn't matter. God did this eons ago, well before I was a speck on this planet. God did this and displayed His power. That alone is awesome. But listen, here's for me what the blowaway is that causes my worship to get even more focused. And it's this. that God that did all of that is the same God that desired relationship with me. Don't understand that either. And then provided Jesus Christ as a sacrifice, His Son, God Himself, to die for me on the cross. And listen, I'm not done. And if that wasn't enough that gets you excited about your relationship with God, let me go a step further. That same God who provided salvation for me in Christ, when I come to believe and trust in Christ, provides the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself, to live in me. The God of the universe that did all of this creating just by one word actually lives inside of me. Do you get it? For all eternity to guard me and keep me, to keep me secure, the God of the universe lives within me. He takes me back home to be in His very presence forever. That to me, that story starts here in Genesis 1. And that to me, if you walk away with one thing today to be overwhelmed with, when you put yourself head on a pillow tonight and you're thinking through the day, think through this. The very God that lives in you is the very God that created all of this and more than we can ever see. That's the one who's living in you. The very one who provided Jesus Christ Himself, God Himself, to die as the perfect sacrifice. Let me give you a challenge before we wrap things up here, and that's this. This week becomes Fellowship Week. I can think of almost no churches that would say, this is the week. Yeah, we don't have anything scheduled because we don't know what to do. No, it's not that. We know exactly what to do. We're asking you before the Lord to decide who you need to get with, to encourage them. Maybe it's somebody not here. It could be like some of my neighbors who don't know Christ. And I'm very much committed to spending time with them, developing a relationship to lead them to Christ. Or it might be another believer that you can share Jesus Christ and grow up with each other. Whatever it is, step out of your comfort box and say, Lord, who do you want me to get with? Who do you want us as a couple to get with? And then go and do it. And start a pattern of doing it. When we get to community groups in a week, we'll be sharing with the people that we met with and who that we need to be praying for as a group. People that need another being prayed for. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hear stories in here as you and I step out and meet with other people. The lovely, the middle kind of people, and the unlovely. Most of the people around me are unlovely. I'm sorry. And that's what we plan to do this next week. The church with boots on the ground in action called Fellowship Week. Take it seriously. That's what we're called to do.